Love Talk Radio.
Call me Little Bo Peep.
Call me Little Bo Beef, I'm out here shining. For the lost sheep, I'm out here grinding. I ain't talk to cheese, I'm out here mining. Looking for diamonds, kingdom business, I'm mining. Trying to wake you up from the lullaby rhyming. Devil can't touch this heat, pantomime. He is a liar, so said the lion. He is all shelter in my protector. Running to him, be faster than a poor. Holy is a wave, ripping the ancient of days. Christ is a big cool home.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're logged in now. We finally got all of the little technical difficulties things out the way, got the right time in. We do apologize to everybody that we're starting about 30 minutes, a little later than we normally start. But we want to welcome everybody to another edition of Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Butterbod. With me is the host, Mashaba. We have Abaja helping the company, came on to help us read. So the brothers, they came through, snuck up on us, man. It's good, always good to see it. They see his face. I know he's a busy man from school to work, but it's good that he came on in. He's going to help read. He's going to read for us tonight, Mashaba.
Shalom, all praises.
So I can't. I don't know what's hold on a second. There you go. So I'm like, hey, man, I mean, you know, the Passover go through, you know what I'm saying? That was over. I think the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I don't know, for the people who were actually doing it, they went through right after the Passover. I know we did the Feast of Unleavened Bread right after. You know what I'm saying? We started and finished it that way. So, you know, it was the ceremony was good. You know, I'd like to thank the brothers in San Antonio, Warden there, man. They did a great job. It was beautiful. It was good seeing all the faces that came out, you know. If we didn't make it, you know, I know 30 days, there should be a second one going on for all the families that couldn't make it, right? But it was good seeing a lot of old faces that are still around, but a lot of new faces. A lot of children, a lot of kids growing up, you know. So it was really, I had a good time. I don't know if I got to say that much, but I really did have a good time, you know.
Time.
Definitely with that, man. So, it was we done got older, man. We done definitely got older. We done definitely put some years in. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, man. I had a brother from he reached out to me on Facebook, Mashaba. He was from, I want to say HOI, but he used to live in Albuquerque. He had a few people that were still studying with them in the Albuquerque area, you know. So we got to talking about the string, you know, the stupid knowledge, you know, the beginnings there. He asked if it was still going. I'm like, yeah, in some form of fashion, it's always going. You know what I'm saying? I told him. I wanted to reach out and hit Aisha up about it, let him know that those families out there was definitely interested, you know what I'm saying, and fellowship and the whole nine. So,
nice. You know, this,
get him off of that.
This Passover from 1993 was our first Passover going up, like as a stream of knowledge and everything. The stream of knowledge, the sword of truth, and the sword of wisdom was back in 1993. So this made our 31st Passover.
Wow. Wow.
31 Passovers.
Yeah, that's a trip, man. And consecutively.
Yeah. Yeah.
No breaks. No time off. No breaks, man. And we thank the Most High and ask the Most High to, you know, give us 31 more if that's what that's His will, you know. That's His will. We want to keep doing the work. But in our hearts, what we want to do is we want our kingdom. You know what I'm saying? We want Christ to come back so we can have our kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You know what I'm saying? The same way Christ told us to pray, this is what we are supposed to be praying for. There's a trip that we kind of know was the direction that the class tonight was going to go about. Was, I mean, we get up and we sacrifice and we, you know, we work every day, Mashaba, to uphold this kingdom in some form or fashion. You know what I'm saying? If it's paying bills, if it's rendering unto Caesar what Caesar's, if it's eating, if it's just trying to just have a roof over your head, and close your eyes, enjoy your family, whatever it may be, we strive every day to have the best life that we can in this kingdom. And as much as I'm like, can sit there and say, you know what, that's a good thing, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's not our thing. Let me clarify when I say that. It's not a, I'm not trying to say, oh, yeah, this is a good thing. I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing. The reason why I say it's not our thing is because when we read something that we read says I've been the truth. Matthew chapter 3, chapter 6, right? The Lord's Prayer. Read the Lord's Prayer. And since I've been in the truth, we learned it in Hebrew. We have the Hebrew Lord's, Abba Nahu, Shema Shema. You know what I'm saying? The whole Hebrew prayer to the English reading. We've always quoted this. We've always read it. We learned this prayer in Hebrew and in English. Hell, you had football games. Before I came to the truth, people sat down, coach, take a knee. Somebody come in and Lord's Prayer be said.
Sure.
So when you start to look at just the prayer and you start defining what Christ was doing, what direction he was trying to gear our minds in. And I wanted to take a moment to read something in this chapter. I'm kind of going in because, you know, I don't run out of time, right? But I wanted to read this part. It says, I'm gonna start up a little bit, right? I'm going to start at Matthew chapter 6, and I want to read verse 7. Let's start at verse 7, right? It says, but when ye pray, Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 7. It says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition. Is that repetition?
Yes.
That is repetitions. He said, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard of their many speakings. It says, but not ye therefore like unto them. Is it be not ye therefore like unto them? Is it for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him? When it comes to prayer, when it was all of the things when we was young, before we came to the truth, or you know, just young, our prayer would be before you went to bed. He said, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." I think that was the traditional black prayer.
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when you start looking at it, you're like, well, we didn't really know what we were saying. That would be vain repetition, you know, or repetition. We said it, we got taught to say it, but we really didn't know what it really meant. And a lot of prayers that we do today, I mean, bless our food, we do different things, but for Christ to come and tell them, he said, you know what, this is what the heathen do. They really don't know what they're asking for. Or even the things that I'm asking for, now the Most High already know what you need before you ask. So for us, Christ is trying to say, for us, our prayers, the things we look forward to should be different. It should be greater than what we look forward to now or what we pray for now. So we can say, man, Lord, you know, I pray you just give me $100,000 or you give me enough money to pay my rent. Get my rent is short. I don't know what I'm going to do. What you going to do? We're going to pray on it. Most I like, I already knew you needed your rent. Why are you waiting? Why is that your prayer when I already know that you needed that?
Hey, I got to put my phone on mute just for a minute.
Go ahead.
All right.
Do your thing. But, you know, so what I'm getting into, it's like the Most I like, for the things that we pray for, he's like, I already know you need that. So I'm glad you asked, but you didn't, I know you need it. What is it that Christ is like, those aren't, that's the heathen do. That's not what we do. He says, if you're going to pray, he said, this is the manner in which you pray. And this is verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So even you look at Christ explaining to the disciples, like I'm showing you, like as we read it, it shows us. The thing that we're supposed to be praying for is his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. For the Most High to be in the power and authority on earth as it is in heaven. Things we're supposed to be praying for. Our kingdom being set up now. Us being in rulership. Us now serving the Father rather than serving society in this kingdom. This is what we're supposed to be praying for. It says, give us this day our daily bread. I'm not asking for more. I'm asking you to give me what I need to get me through the day. Get me through now. Get me through this time. The resources, it was food, the food I need for the day, for this time. Give me that. This is, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So you look at what was being prayed. The Father said, this is what you're supposed to pray for. You're supposed to pray for my kingdom to come. You're supposed to be praying for, you're supposed to pray to be forgiven of the mistakes that you've made or the debts that you owe. And not be tempted, not be led off. I'm praying that I'm not led off. This is not a negative out there that's leading me off. These are things I'm supposed to be praying for because I'm trying to make it to your kingdom. Now, I start here because this is something that we have to understand. Christ is telling me, this is what you guys are supposed to be praying for. This is what our focus is supposed to be. I'm not focusing on trying to just live in the kingdom that we live in, but keeping ourselves right so that we are prepared for the kingdom that is to come. My mind is in the right place. I didn't let the things of this world take me so far off that now I stopped focusing on making it to the kingdom of the Most High. I'm just trying to enjoy the kingdom that I'm in now. That's what we have to start looking at. As I'm praying, I got to make those my prayers. Father, I want to make it to your kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be growing in. Now, where are we at? Oh, let me go here now, right? I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Let Bobby read that for me. Proverbs chapter 4 and 7. I'm going to go there real quick. I'm going to bounce back, all right? Proverbs chapter 4 and 7. I want you to read that real quick.
Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding.
So even when it comes to the kingdom, the Most High is still on us that you still need to get understanding. And this is what wisdom is. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. He said, get wisdom. We're going to read. We're going to learn. We're going to be taught. But you got to get understanding to the things that are being shown. And I believe that what's happening to a lot of us in the walk that we're in, and this truth that we're in, is a lot of our understanding, we're not allowing that to be developed like it should be. We're not allowing our focus. We're not allowing ourselves to be shown the things that we should be focusing on and the things that are important in the life that we live. Hell, man, if you die tomorrow and you can't take nothing that you have with you, the only thing that you can do is leave it. That your focus was supposed to be on the place, getting prepared for the place that you're going, not trying to hold tight to something that you can't take with you. If we're trying to strive to make it to the kingdom of the Father, there, I promise, there is nothing on this God green earth that we can put in our pocket that you're going to be able to throw over your back, that you're going to be able to pull, tow, right? Nothing that's going in this place is going into the Father's kingdom. That's what Christ told the apostles. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. So you, if this is a place that's already developed for us, there is nothing here that you have a sentimental value to. That this has been my family for decades. The Most High said, well, leave it out there. Don't bring that trash in my home. Don't bring that filth in my home. So as we understand, and that's the one thing we should be developing, what this truth is about is growing in understanding. I'm supposed to understand what's important. What can you take with you? What do I focus on developing and building? What should I be investing my mind into so that I can now be able to make it? I can get to this kingdom. From there, let that one go. We go real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Right? 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3 and verse 19 is where I want to go.
First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness.
Go ahead.
Verse 20, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. They are vain.
So the Most High looking, he said, the wisdom of this world, the things that we're trying to hold on in this world, our ideas of what we think we've developed and accomplished, he says foolishness to him. That was what y'all needed for the world. So everything that you, everything we're dedicating to now is what we need for now. It does you any good. It does us no good when we get to, as we're going to the kingdom. You're supposed to grow in wisdom and understanding. So while we're here, our relationship with Father is supposed to continue to grow. Meaning, because I'm learning this Bible, I'm learning how to become the type of person that's going to make it to the kingdom and be humble enough to let the Father clean me up. I'm going to have to be humble-minded enough that whatever life I was living here, right, whatever place, whatever point I established, whatever I got to, I understand that this has not anything to do, has no value in the kingdom of the Most High. None. All my stocks, none. Money in my bank account, none. All my classic cars and big home, none. Paper is still paper at the end of the day for the Father. It's trees. It's wood. It goes back to the elements. Steel and leather and everything else that we cherish is still materials that go back into the earth. So the Father's looking at us like, you definitely have to understand that the things that we look at and that we look at as something, as an accomplishment in this world, the Father looks at it like it's foolishness with him. everything that we can work to accomplish now, we said, okay, you know what? That was foolishness because you can't take it with you. Everything that you thought that you gained of importance, the Father-like, is foolishness because it can't be taken with you. Not in my house, not in this kingdom that's to come. So the only thing that you can take with you is your righteous deeds. The things that you fought every day to change in yourself and clean up about yourself, those are the only things that are going to be of value to the Father. Your humility. That's what's going to be of value to the Father. Trying to, whatever debts, flood mistakes, I'm trying to clean those things up. Those are the things that are valuable to the Father. The changes that I fight to make every day to be more like in Christ's image or the Most High's image, to be more like the Bible. Those are the things that are going to be valuable to the Father because these are the things that get us accepted into this kingdom. Hold that real quick, right? I'm reading Mark. You was in Corinthians, right? I'm going to read Mark real quick, right? Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 11, okay? Mark chapter 4 and verse 11 says, it says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of the Most High. He was speaking to the 12. I'm going to read up one. It's just, and he said unto them, this is verse 9, and he said unto them, talking about the disciples, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked, after they said, ask of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of the Most High. But unto them that are without, all of these things are done in parable. So our job is to get in this book and learn about the kingdom of the Most High. The reason that we study this thing, and you look at all of the different things going on the earth today, right now, right? From wars to everything else, what is it that Christ was trying to let us know our focus is supposed to stay on? The kingdom of the Most High. I need your mind to be on the mystery of the kingdom of the Most High. You have to learn how to get yourself prepared for this kingdom that's about to come. You got to give your mind the focus on how to get you right, so that you can be welcomed into this kingdom that is of the Most High, that's coming down to earth. Those I keep bringing that point in, coming down to earth, because that's not what we was taught. So we waiting for them pearly gates. We're supposed to rise up, float up on the cloud, meet St. Peter at the gate, and be welcomed in. We just must go to them pearly gates and be welcomed in. Everybody on the earth is waiting to die, be lifted up, and they're going to go to heaven. And we're going to go into the Bible and figure out, okay, where is that taking place? Where is this home being built at? Where is everybody else looking for this place? Where are they looking for it at? If society got us looking up, was Abraham looking for that stairway to heaven? Highway or stairways or being lifted up on a cloud. Were they looking for that? This is what we have to go to the Bible to figure out, try to understand. So, unless you let that one go about you, we're going to go to Wisdom of Solomon real quick. Matter of fact, I'm going to let you read Hebrews 11:8. No, you do wisdom because you got a pocket for your phone, right? Do wisdom and follow the chapter 6. And we're going to read 20, all right? Wisdom and follow chapter 6 and verse 20. And then I'm going to get Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8.
Wisdom and follow chapter 6 and verse 20.
Go ahead.
Therefore, the desire of wisdom bringeth to a kingdom. If you delight, be then in thrones and scepters. O ye kings of the people, honor wisdom, that ye may reign forevermore.
So read that one more time.
Verse 21. If your delight be then in thrones and scepters, O ye kings of the people.
Hold on. Read the beginning of 20. The top of 20.
Okay. Wisdom Psalms 6 and 20.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, the desire of wisdom bringeth to a kingdom.
It bringeth what?
To a kingdom.
So the more we desire wisdom, the more we learn, the more it brings us to a kingdom. It puts us on the path, on the right road to making it to the kingdom. Go ahead.
Verse 21. If your delight be then in thrones and scepters, O ye kings of the people, honor wisdom, that ye may reign forevermore.
So the Most High is telling us, I like to show him. He said it's about scepters. If this is about, thrones and scepters, if it's about rulership, he says, then keep your mind on wisdom. Keep growing in wisdom and understanding. You have to keep learning to please the Father, learning to do things right in the eyes of the Father so that you can get to that kingdom that you're desiring. Look, if I make my focus just trying to be comfortable here or building here, trying to keep up, we never don't grow in wisdom and understanding. I got myself in less class or less in a book or less studying because it kind of gets in the way of the things that I'm trying to do to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish. And you look at the world we live in now, they keep us humping. We back in slavery days when it comes to work, because I ain't just talking about the physical work, right? But when you have to get up for work, if you got to go work at 7, then you got to get up at 5. Okay, if you don't get up at 5, you ain't going to make it there at 7. Because you got to get up at 5 just to kind of take a shower, get yourself ready, get dressed. You got to fight traffic, getting to work. Then you're going to work a full day, and then you'll get home about 7. Because even if you get off at 5, you got to fight traffic, go to the grocery store, whatever you got to do, then get home. Get you a little sleep, get right back up during the next day. And we're in a situation, we're in a type of routine or a type of life now that is more expensive. You got to work harder. Some people are working double jobs to everything else. Just trying to make enough just to get through, just to get by, which doesn't make it wrong because you're doing what you have to do. But what we don't realize is that by everything that we do now, there's less time, or we're given less time to, get wisdom, grow in more understanding so that we can get to our kingdom. And as we're reading this, we're starting to read that, you know what, this is something that's required. If I'm looking for me to make it to the kingdom, then I have to grow in wisdom. I have to start now learning more about the Father and learning what changes I need to make. But because of the environment that we live in or the life that we live in, there's not a lot of time for me to study the way I need to study or dedicate to me growing in the Father's wisdom and understanding because I'm just trying to make ends meet and get through. We have to fight and understand that this part of making to the kingdom, wisdom is vital. You have to grow in wisdom and understanding so that it can get you to that kingdom. Because that's what we're reading about, right? Now, hold on. We'll come right back to that. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick. Because what I'm looking at in this is, why is this important? I guess it'll be the question. Why is this wisdom so important? And us understanding without that wisdom, without wisdom and understanding, without us trying to live more righteous in the eyes of the Father, we won't make it to the kingdom. Now I'm going to read this. This is Hebrews chapter 11. So I'm going to read something starting at verse 8, right? It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive of an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. It says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, and in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It says, for he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is the Most High. So I went to the land of promise, but I never built my own home. I didn't build the kingdom or the kingdom of Abraham. I didn't build the castle of Abraham. I didn't build that. I lived there like a stranger. A stranger, somebody to come in. They don't own. They just come in, use the land, and then move on. They set up a tent. They set up something that can be taken down and then moved. But I wasn't setting roots because I was looking for a city which foundation and whose the builder was the and maker was the Most High. I'm looking for this city to come down on earth. So the Most High looks at him, and if we read this, and the scriptures call this man faithful because his focus was about the kingdom that was coming, not setting roots in the place that was given to him. It wasn't about the land. It's about what's coming on that land. So this man had enough understanding to understand that the life that I'm living is dedicated to me pleasing the Father so that I can inherit what is coming on this land, not just the land. So I was already in the land, but the whole time I've been in this land that's promised to me, I know it's promised to me, but it wasn't promised just as dirt and tumbleweeds or dirt and grass and bushes. There was a kingdom that I was looking for. That means with understanding, this man understood what he was waiting for. So as we are in the Bible now, we're supposed to grow in understanding so we understand every day that we operate and we work and we do what we're doing. We understand that the life we live is supposed to bring us one step closer to the kingdom that was promised to us from the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as I'm reading it, it helps you understand, okay, everyone with him, his kids, his wife, they all understood what was being built, what they were supposed to receive. Now, hold on a second. Let me go to verse 10. Yeah, I just want to go to verse. I just want to verse 10. So now, I'm going to let them two go. We're going to go to Dan. We're going to go to Dan chapter 2 and verse 44. Right? Or is that Daniel? It's Daniel 2. Yeah, Daniel, not Daniel. Sorry. I'm reading my notes. I apologize. It's Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And then it's Psalms. Then I'm going to Psalms. I said, Dan, the book of Dan. He said, yeah, what you know, I want to do what you're reading out of. It might have been the book of Enoch. I'm not sure, man. I'm mixing up the books I'm reading. Go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And then I'm going to read Psalms. I'm going to go to Psalms chapter, Psalms chapter 145. Okay. Real quick.
Okay, so Daniel 2 and 44.
Uh-huh.
In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set upon a kingdom which shall never be destroyed.
Read that again.
Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed.
Hey, well, now, when we read this now, I just jump to the end of it because the Daniel breakdowns that we had, Daniel chapter 2, I think it's 2, 4, and 8. I think those are the chapters. It talks about Nebuchadnezzar. It talks about the Persian Media Empire. It talks about the Greek Empire. It talks about the Roman Empire. It talks about the Roman Empire then going into America. But in the vision of Daniel, the one thing that he pointed out was to Nebuchadnezzar back then, or the king of Babylon. But he was pointing out to him that after all these kingdoms are set up, and all these kingdoms are going to set up, they're going to fail, and the kingdom that will last forever is the kingdom of the Most High. This was foretold even during Daniel's time. And, you know, and everything that was prophesied, that whole vision has come to life, right? The Babylon Empire rose, great heights. There was a head of gold. None was greater than the Babylonian Empire. Then they fell. Then you had the Persian and Median Empire. They rose. They fell. You had the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, all the empires that have been even to America today. And we come into the latter end of this one. This one's failed. It's coming down. So the only other kingdom that is to come is the kingdom of the Most High, which we probably showed in Daniel. He said this one was going to never fail. This is the last one. So wisdom would be telling us that if I understand that this is the last kingdom, I wish you'd use the wisdom is understanding that, man, I need to get ready for the kingdom that is to come, not trying to, like, get comfortable in the one that is going to fail. Let me read something real quick, right? I want you to hold that, but we're going right back to it, Abadja. Hebrews chapter 11, right? I'm going to go back there real fast. Because there was something that I wanted to pull out in those chapters real quick. It's Hebrews 11 and 7. It was just going up one. Because I look at this one thing, Noah was put in the same situation, right? Hebrews chapter 11 and 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of the Most High of things. Let me read that again. It says, Noah, being warned of the Most High of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So he was warned, like we in the Bible, and we're warned of things not seen as yet. We know it's real. We know that it out there is real because we just sat and watched an eclipse. Everybody got the little glasses and sat up there, and all of a sudden, middle of the day, I think I was at the mechanic shop. Looked up, I was like, damn, it's cloudy. I said, it was just cloudy at first, right? So all of a sudden, it got dark. I was like, damn. Looked up, okay, there's no, where the sun was, it had a little ring around. It was a big ring. Okay, wow, okay. Then whatever, the Most High is real. Because if we can see something like that, that we can't explain, and we couldn't control, we can't control it, we can only watch it. So to have things that can't be explained, just like Noah had things going in his time that couldn't be explained, and things that had not been seen as yet. Just like there are things that are going to happen on this earth that we haven't seen. By faith, Noah, being warned of the Most High of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. So he had to take what he was told, use wisdom, and do what was necessary, do what the Father told him to do to save his house. We look, and we're in the same predicament, right? Because as this thing is rapidly coming to an end, it looks like, this and life getting harder, we have to now still get in the book, use wisdom, teach, so that we can show the next generation. We can show our generation right now what they should be preparing for. If this was going to burn, get ready for the kingdom that is to come. You have to be prepared for that kingdom. We got to now know, have we seen this fall? No, we haven't. But neither did he. So now the Most High is looking at, do you have faith? Because that is entail how you know that you do have faith. Because the word said it, so I started preparing myself for this kingdom. Just like we go on and on the news and they'll say, hey, man, it's time. We having a food shortage. There's going to be a storm. Go out, buy toilet paper. Or it's COVID. We go, people locked down in their house. Go buy toilet paper. Buy water. And you know what we believe? We move with fear. And then toilet paper, them are the toilet paper aisles, empty. Water aisles, empty. Right? Everything's empty. As you look at it, let me show you how I'm up to the end. This one was my gut. But as we're looking at this, we're starting to realize that you look at what a man was preparing for, what he understood, and the more that we grow in understanding, my maturity is going to grow, and I start looking at, okay, what's important? Let me start working on it. Is my health important? Yes, your health is going to be important because you have to survive. Hell, are my finances important? Yes, they're going to be supported for right now because you got to still exist for now. You know what I'm saying? But I think what we're trying to develop is not just paying bill well. We're trying to develop generational wealth. But that next generation, if that next generation is in the Most High's kingdom, then what good is everything you built? If, man, I bought 170 acres of land, and I come up with a sweet deal. They sold it to me for $1,000 a thousand an acre. I bought all of this for Israel. Okay, well, if we don't start building on that tomorrow, if we don't utilize that land now, you wasted your money and you wasted your time. Because if you're sitting on something thinking that this is for the future, this is for Israel, if we ain't using it now, you're wasting your time. Tell you the truth now, you wasted your time, your resources, and your money. You should be investing into what, I'm not saying that it's not, I'm nowhere saying that the resources that are given to us are not for a reason. Yes, they're vital. But if all you did was sit on it, because you wanted to be able to say, hey, look, I got this. So you're sitting on it, like your bank account money, right? Like we do at our bank. Sometimes I don't want to pay my bills because I want to just, let me just sit on this for a few days. You know what I'm saying? Just so I can look at it and see, okay, this is what I got. Yeah, I know I got to pay these bills, but damn. Just for a minute. Let me feel like a big shot for a minute. We all want that. So now we in the truth, we understand this is happening. And you made a good investment when you said, well, let me go buy this land. Good investment. Well, let's use it. Because if you don't use it now, what good is it? And like you said, man, I was Forex trading, and, man, I made money. I was stocking my bank account up. I got 100 grand in the bank. I got 1 million in the bank. If you don't use it, what good is it? What good is saving in an economy that is falling? And then we understand that the Most High's kingdom is coming. So what good was it if his kingdom came and you had all these resources? All you can do is burn it. Remember, we're talking about leaving this kingdom, right? If we're waiting for ships to come and now take us out of this kingdom, where do you think you can't use those resources anymore? They're not going to do you any good. The land, they do no good. It'll do you no good because you can't take it with you. The money we saved up, can't do nothing with it. Can't take it with you. That custom car I've been working on, I got that 54, Impala. I have the 1957 Impala. I got a 54 Impala, man. I'm Dayton, clean, paid job, man. Bro, I'm gonna tell you like this: if you ain't driving that car, you're stupid. And you ain't driving it, you dumb, man. Because you can't take it with you. That garage you got to park in, guess what it's going to do? It's going to rot. It's going to burn, man. Come on, man. You got to look at where we're at. The resources don't do us any good. You build it, it's only for the time you're in now. I'm never going to tell nobody, man. If you got land, sell it. No, I'm saying if you got land, use it. You better use it. You better get as many as life as you can get together, and y'all better use it. Because homelessness is going on. It's real. If you got a decent job, use it. You better now use what you have to take care of and build up as many Israelites as you can to help. Because you can't take it with you. That's why your understanding of the Bible has to grow. You have to understand the time that you're in, and you have to understand what's going on and what is the Father trying to prepare us for. Because we're not going to get away from that. Don't get around that. Remember, his kingdom is coming. His will is going to be done on earth. Just like his will is done in heaven. Just like his kingdom is in heaven. So what good is it for us to sit on what you should have been using? So every day that you look at this and you're working to stack something, you can. I'm not going to tell you not to. But the Father's like, well, what good is hell if you die? You can't take it with you. You know, he's got this thing. Society got this thing built up the right way. Because everything that you own, if you have built what you built in America, it can't leave America. So you don't own it. You just existed in it. You just borrowed it. Because you can't take it with you. That's all it is. You're paying to live in a place.
You're not paying. The original price you're paying with
the bank put on it to just for you to occupy.
Exactly.
All you get to do is occupy.
You ain't paying a dime towards the actual price.
Right. Because you can't take it with you.
Exactly.
The car. I bought the fly car. Cool. I got it. That's why I didn't want to fix my Cadillac no more. I said, I'm tired of it. You know, I can't take it nowhere. I'm like, man, if we had to leave the country, for most of the bid, you had to leave the country. because you just can't live anymore. You gotta walk away from everything that you've built. What good was it then? Use it. Use it now for, I'm taking my resources to use it now for the people that you can help, because I'm going to tell you what's going to be the new currency. Brotherly love. Y'all mark my words, that's going to be the new currency, because brotherhood and love is the only thing you can take with you anyway. Two or three brothers leaving someplace can go build and take care of each other. More than the car, more than the home, more than the bank account. Hell, come on, think about this. You can have all the money in the world in your bank account, right? But if you lose your bank card, then what? You stuck. You can't even get it out the bank. Hell, the bank had closed down, and the only thing that you got was a letter saying, or you went to the bank, and there's a note on the door, the bank is temporarily closed. For more information, contact 1-800, this, this, and that. So you on the phone arguing about your money, hoping that they say what? Oh, we understand. Okay, we're going to refund your money to you. Y'all better get my money back. Whole time you're like, whew, man. But I made that my investment. I made the risk, I took the risk of something that I'm building walking away from me just that easy. But like I said, the new currency is brotherly love, is brotherhood. Because we can be broke, but brothers that are broke together are going to work together to take care of one another. That's the one thing I've learned from this truth. That's the one thing that's always constant. We didn't have much, but if I had a home, you had a home. We didn't have much, but if I got a couch, you got a couch. Excuse me. We didn't have much, but whatever meal I was going to eat on my table, now we have to divide that up equally, make sure your family had a plate. We might not only have bacon and turkey bacon and eggs in the refrigerator, but you know what? Everybody gonna get an egg and a piece of bacon. We sleeping on it, but that's the new currency. It's the relationship that you develop and build now, because this is what the kingdom was about. It's us as a nation getting ready to go home. That is our focus. That is the wisdom of this book. This is the Most High has been have the prophets preaching from the beginning. Yet Christ pushing it. Y'all prepared to go home. Y'all prepared for the kingdom that I am built for you. Go to Psalms real quick now, right? Psalms chapter 145. Yeah, Psalms 145. And I'm going to start at verse 10, okay? Psalms 145. And we're going to start at verse 10.
Psalms chapter 145 and verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee.
Read.
Verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. And talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom.
Three.
Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down.
So the Most High looking at, this is always about, even David, we read, these are the songs we're about. The message is about that kingdom that was to come. They all understood. And you don't look at it, David was king in his kingdom, praising and talking about the kingdom that was going to come. He said, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. He didn't say my kingdom. He told Israel was probably your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion endureth throughout all generations. He even understood. Mine is temporary. Then when I pass it up to my son Solomon, his is temporary. The next generation of my grandkids, temporary. He said, but yours is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endureth throughout all generations. Even at this point, the Father, this is the praise. He said, this is what we're going to sing about. We're not singing about my kingdom. My rulership, when I get old and die, then my kingdom is going to go with me. When my bloodline dies, when the next power or the next country or the next, when the Babylonians go, they came up in power. They took over all of that. Our kingdom fell. We went into captivity. But David wasn't praying. He wasn't singing songs about his kingdom. He was singing songs about the kingdom that was to come because he understood. That's what we're supposed to be working towards. We're supposed to be praising and serving you. We're looking to do the right things so that we can get a place in your kingdom. Matthew chapter 10 now, right? Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to start at verse 5. Man, I'm trying to get through a little bit, man. I'm going to skip a little bit. Yes, I can get to the meat. I got an hour. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, right? I'm going to read that real quick.
Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5.
Uh-huh.
These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of these Samaritans, enter ye not.
What is that, 10 and 5?
Yeah, 10 and 5.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Go ahead.
And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So even Christ in understanding, even in Christ, giving them the understanding that this is not about, he said, when you go out to Israel, the people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the people of Negro and Indian descent throughout North and South America or throughout all of Jerusalem, go to the ones that are lost and let them know that the Most High Kingdom is at hand. Don't worry about the way you at. He's even telling them. He was telling them, man, go by land. Y'all got to reestablish this place. He said, go to the ones that are lost and let them know, reassure them that the Most High's kingdom is at hand, is coming. Y'all prepare and get ready for that kingdom to come. So when Christ is healing, he isn't healing, trying to build people up so they can go back out in the world. He was like, listen, I'm doing what I'm doing for Israel, showing love, developing, helping the next person, healing the blind, doing all of these miracles. But my whole focus, his whole focus wasn't about the kingdom that they was living in. It was all about the one that was to come. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper. Freely as you receive, freely give. Get them ready. Get them ready for the kingdom that was to come. That's what we're supposed to be doing here as prophets and saints and brothers that are upholding this Bible. Our job is to get Israel ready for the kingdom that is to come. Read that again.
Matthew 10 and verse 5.
Uh-huh.
These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Go ahead.
Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give.
What verse is that?
That's verse 8.
So you look at as we're reading, right? Look at what the focus was. From the top, y'all go out and teach. Let them know the kingdom is coming. Go heal. Go take care of them. Our job is to strengthen our people up so that we can prepare for the kingdom that is to come. Because that's what they were doing. Our job is the same thing. Get our people ready for the kingdom that is to come. Honestly, if I kept you strong physically, mentally, you know what I'm saying? I kept you strong enough to keep getting yourself ready for the kingdom that's to come. So a lot of people that got healed, got fed, got taken care of, so that they can now prepare for the kingdom that was still to come, because that's our focus. It's not trying to get comfortable in the life that we're living here, but getting ourselves ready for the kingdom that is coming on this earth. A couple more Acts, right? Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. We're going to read that. I'm reading real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and then verse 7. It says, when they, therefore, were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, this is the disciples, right? Because when they came together, they asked him, Lord. It says, and they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And said, then you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the utmost parts of the earth. So even at this point, they understood what? That the kingdom was going to be restored to them. But Christ told them to do what? It's not for you to know when this is going to happen. Your job is to now go out and go witness, go teach. You shall be witnesses, you shall be teachers unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. Go spread the news of the kingdom. Go get the people ready for the kingdom. But to answer your question, do we know when the kingdom's coming? No, we don't. It ain't for us to know. It's for us to be ready. Go to First Maccabees. You got the Apocrypha too. It's First Maccabees, chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18. Read that real quick, right?
First Maccabees 2 and 17.
Right.
And strengthened with sons and brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Now therefore, come thou first.
This is the second Maccabees?
First Maccabees or second
Maccabees? Second Maccabees. I think it's second. Yeah. It's second Maccabees. I'm sorry, y'all. It's second Maccabees chapter 2 and verse 17. Hold on. He said, read that again.
Second Maccabees chapter 2 and verse 17. We hope also that the God that delivered all his people.
He said the one that delivered all his people. Go ahead. He said, gave them all an inheritance. Read.
And the kingdom.
He gave this people that he delivered, he gave them a kingdom. He gave them their kingdom. So the whole time we're here working and doing what we're doing, we're forgetting that a kingdom was given to us. Read on.
And the priesthood.
Hold on. He said,
and
go ahead.
And the sanctuary.
Read.
as he promised in the law.
So he promised, reading this, we're understanding that in the law, a kingdom was promised to us. In the Bible, that a kingdom was already promised to us. We were supposed to be here getting ready for the kingdom that was promised to us. Is that verse 18?
Yeah, that's verse 18.
Now, I'm going to let that go real quick, right? Can we just show them the points that as we build to, we're going to now show, we're going to build into and show what kingdom, what was the kingdom that was promised to us, right? There's a couple more that I'm going to jump down. We're going to Matthew real quick, right? Matthew chapter 11. Yeah, Matthew 11 and verse 11. You know, Matthew 11, verse 11 and verse 12. Let me read that real quick, right? It says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman," this is Christ speaking, "there has not reigned a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." It says, verse 12, "And after the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence taken it by force." It says, "For all the prophecies and the law prophesied unto John." So we look at the kingdom we're talking about was the kingdom of Israel. It was talking about the people. We are, the most are looking at us because we don't know our nationality, because we don't understand the Bible, we don't understand that when we attack one another or when we divide up one another, the only thing we're doing is dividing the kingdom. When we attack, we're fighting against the what's supposed to be prepared for the what's supposed to be being prepared for the kingdom to come. So that Christ is sending the apostles out. Understand, you're gathering, you're healing, you're doing all this. You're getting these people ready for the kingdom. But we've lost sight of that as we go through day to day because we're not getting up, working, getting people's minds in the right place so they can be prepared for the kingdom that's to come. We're more focused on current events. We're more focused on currently what's going on. What's going on? What's going on in Jerusalem? Who cares? Who cares? They bombing. That's what's going on over there. I'm not saying it like I'm insensitive, like people are going to die. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is just like we live today, and I'm using for example, when you're trying to build your house and pay your bills and get your house ready for the next step, if you were moving, you don't care about the neighbor. You just care about getting yourself ready for that move. The most I like, you're leaving. This thing is falling. We're setting it up for you to get ready for your kingdom. I don't need you worried about the next person. I don't need you focused on trying to now vote to establish, trying to vote to uphold a kingdom that's fallen. Or this place is at war. Those are kingdoms that are falling. So you need to make your focus on getting yourself ready for your kingdom that's coming. Go get your people ready. Go heal them. Go help them. Go get them in the right mind frame so that they can get ready to now go to the kingdom that is prepared for them. That's what Christ was making these, had the apostles focused on. Go out, teach, witness, and get the people ready for the kingdom that's coming. Because right now, they suffered in the place that they at. They done went through captivity and everything else, just like today. Our people are suffering in the place that they're at today. Our job is to get them ready for the kingdom that is to come. From there, I want you to go to verse 10. Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. That's who we're supposed to be. This is, he was talking about John. But that is who we're supposed to be. This is who the disciples were trying to get them to understand. Somebody's supposed to be out preparing the way, getting our people to understand, hey, you know what? We're not focused on what's out here. I'm not focused on how much stock or what's in my bank account. I'm supposed to be focused on the kingdom that is coming, because it's been prophesied that it's coming to us, and we need to get our nation ready for that, for what is promised to them. And we've always understood the Most High is dealing with us individually. You ain't gonna be no stragglers in the kingdom. We either all go together, or we gonna still be here going through the same thing we're going through until we finally get it together so that we can go together into the kingdom that's prepared for us. So then, I want you to Amos real quick, right? Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. If you're popping the Bible, the Old Testament, and then we're going to go on to Let's read these two. Okay, give it to me. Yeah, please. Okay, let's read that real quick. Let me get it. I'm trying to get my time, but I want to. Let's read this. Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. Read that real quick.
Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof.
Hold on, that is did what?
Raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen.
I'm gonna raise the house of David that is fallen. That's been here in America. Go ahead.
And close up the breaches thereof.
Three.
And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old.
Go ahead.
Verse 12. That they may possess the remnant of Edom. And of all the heathen.
So this is a future prophecy. We're reading right now. The house of David ain't ruling nothing right now. He said, "But in the last days, I'm gonna raise them up. They're gonna be that's the kingdom that he's talking about. I'm gonna raise those ruins, and Edom and everyone else is gonna submit to them. They're gonna be in power. This is the kingdom that is." To come. Go ahead. Is that it? That was in the 12, right?
Which are called by my name.
Uh-huh.
Say the Lord that doeth this. That's the other 12.
Now, from there, I want you to read another one. I want you to read 2 Samuel now, right? Chapter 7 and verse 10. Right? 2 Samuel chapter 7. And verse 10, I know I'm rushing a little bit because I'm trying to get to some meat real quick, man. Seven, and I want you to read verse 10, okay? Read that.
2 Samuel verse 7, chapter 7, verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people and people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more.
Go ahead.
Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time.
Go ahead.
And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house.
I'm going to make Israel a house. Go ahead.
And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish this kingdom.
Go ahead.
He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son.
Three.
If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of children of men.
Go ahead.
But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took him from Saul.
As I took him from Saul. Go ahead.
Whom I put away before thee, and thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever.
So this is what was...
Wrong quote.
But, this is what was throne to David. You know what I'm saying? This was prophesied about David, man, that this is how the Most High was going to do it. But we look at this thing without realizing that this has been in the Bible the whole time. This is what we were supposed to be reading and understanding. This was shown to David, man. This is our legacy. But we're sitting here scribing and fighting for the Father. Like, why are you fighting for that? That's not promised to you. This kingdom that we're going to read about, this is the legacy that I promised to you even back in the time of David. Now, I'm going to read this real quick, right? Couple of them. Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 24, right?
Ezekiel 37 and 24.
Yeah, Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 24?
Yeah.
Go ahead and read.
Ezekiel 37 and 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. That we're looking for now.
Yeah, I think it is. Because you're going to read down the verse 24 down to verse 28.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, verse 25. And he shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant.
Read on.
Wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever.
Now, hold on. When you're looking at Ezekiel, you start looking at one thing, you start realizing that this after David already had, he was already in captivity the whole night, right? So you start looking at what was prophesied to David. This was told. This was shown to him, and this was told to him. But we realize that now what's prophesied, what's promised to us, is that we're going to be put in our kingdom, and David is going to rule over us again. It says, and they shall have one shepherd, Christ. One king, one Lord, you know what I'm saying? One voice that we listen to. It says, they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant. Wherefore, it says, their fathers shall dwell. It says, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Because Christ is the king. So he like, man, this is the kingdom that's being set up. Moreover, well, I say to read two.
You said 28.
That's 28, right. It says, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. Because I will make a covenant of peace with them. It says, it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yes, I will be their power, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. And my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. So we're talking about a kingdom that's coming to us, that's coming down. So we understand this is our legacy. This is what was prophesied and promised to us. To our generation, to the next generation, to the next generation after that. This is still the kingdom that's promised. No one can get around that. Now go to Revelation chapter 21 now. And we're going to finish strong. We're going to read Revelation chapter 21, okay? Verse 1 and 2. And then we're going to jump just a little bit. But we're going to start at Revelation chapter 21 and read verse 1, okay?
Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1.
Go ahead.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
I saw a new what?
A new heaven and a new earth.
So this is one that has not gotten here yet. Go ahead.
So the first heaven and the first earth were passed away.
So the one we in now is going to be destroyed. Where's what was that? What John saw? This is John. It was John. That's right. So what John saw was this was prophesied to him. This division. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth have passed away. Go ahead.
And there was no more sea.
Read on.
Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem.
I saw what?
The holy city, New Jerusalem.
Go ahead.
Coming down from God out of heaven.
Wait. Hold on. Hold up. Hold up. It can't say that. Did it say coming down? Because if we was, if it came down to the clouds, because remember, we've always been taught that we had to walk them, we always saw them taught, or we saw the pictures of people walking in them staircases up to heaven.
Oh, right, right.
You know, trying to float on the clouds.
Staircase out of
it. We got to walk them on them stairs. Then you come to the pearly gate. So while fools is in church listening to their madness and they're looking for them stairs to come, we look at this. we're going to watch this city come down, and it's going to rest. And it, you know, the name is going to be on when it comes down, New Jerusalem. So and we're going to be looking. We got to fight to help Palestine and rebuild Palestine. The most I like, that was, I'm not fighting for that. I'm not sending no money to rebuild that. I'm not praying for it because that's not the Jerusalem that we're fighting for. That one is going to be destroyed. It's being destroyed. They are war. Those people, those are two kingdoms at war. The most I like the new Jerusalem that he's bringing, this is what we're looking for. This is the same one that Abraham was looking for. Read on.
Verse 2. Down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Ready for us. Get you ready. Go ahead.
Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them.
So we understand that this is a kingdom that's coming down to us from heaven. That's what we mean. If you join him, we're in Revelation chapter 21. I tell everybody, go back and read this chapter so that you can understand what is promised to us. What is our legacy that we're waiting and working and sacrificing all the things that we're going through. This is why we do it. Can we understand what is being given to us? We are sitting here just waiting to die. So we can go to heaven. We're sitting here working every day waiting for that eclipse, waiting for that big city to finally decide to come, waiting for Christ of the angels to now come, and now we understand everybody on the earth is going to see that the kingdom of heaven, that the house of the Most High is with men. Go ahead. What verse you got? Finish it real quick.
And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them.
Verse 9.
And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Now, I'm going to show you the bride. I'm going to show you the Lamb's wife. Go ahead.
They carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain.
You read verse 14. Go ahead.
And the wall of the city had 12 foundations.
He said this, the wall of this city that was coming down, it had 12 foundations. Go ahead.
And then the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city.
Reed?
And the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal.
Now, I'm going this route. Now I ain't going to go into the furlongs. I'm not going into the how big it is, but you got to look at it. He said, however big it was the same measurement of how high it was. So if this kingdom came down and sat right on America, it would go from maybe from Florida, from the coast, to maybe Texas and all the way up. So it's not something that you're going to miss. It's something that the whole world, it's something that's so big that the world is going to see this kingdom. They're going to see this kingdom in all its glory. From wherever you at, you're going to see this. And you're going to understand that when you see the when you see this and you see the people walking through these gates, when you see the names on the gates, you will understand who it was for. Read on.
And he measured the wall thereof at 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel.
Read on.
And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass.
He said, so the wall of jasper, the walls had... We go verse 11? 18. Okay. He says, in the building of the wall, he said, was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold. So you look at the streets, you look at the building, you look at, this is, it came down, it was already built up gold, jasper, precious stones, beautiful. Something that we gonna watch come down, and you can imagine how beautiful it is. Just like we stop to watch the eclipse, we see the world gonna do when they stop and see this come out of the sky, descending and resting on the earth. And these are the names. Go ahead.
And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones.
Read on.
The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third of chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth ceradox, the sixth ceradus.
And I'm letting read a little bit, because all these precious stones, you would think this would have to be something that was built on earth that we had to go find. We watching, this is already built. All this is already built. It's already coming. Said, I'm here, Christ told the angels, the apostles. He said, I go. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. He said, I go to prepare. We're reading about what was prepared for us. This is our legacy. Now, jump down to verse, you're verse 15, right?
Verse 20.
I'll keep reading. You can read all the way down to 27.
All right.
Go ahead.
The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysophrasis. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, and amethyst.
Read on.
And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And,
I'm sorry. Keep going.
And the street of the city was pure gold.
So you look at one thing. They got one thing, right? In pearly gates. There, but if it wasn't one pearly gate, here it said there was 12 pearly gates. And it says that every several gate was of one pearl. It says in the city, and the streets of the city were pure gold. Go ahead.
As it were transparent glass.
Read on.
And I saw no temple therein. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it.
Go ahead.
And the city had no need for the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it.
Really?
The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it.
They'll walk where?
In the light of it.
So that means that they were going to walk in the light of it. Guess they would still have to do. They would see it. They see the sun every day. So they looked up and saw the eclipse. He said, "You go. Every nation on this earth is going to walk in that light. It's going. They're going to see it. They're going to wake up every day and see this kingdom that was promised to us." Go ahead.
And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, but there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it.
And
there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
So you look at one thing we're reading as we're reading this, right? We have to really understand that. There you go. We have to really understand as we're reading that if I'm already building a city, from your cars to everything else, I'm like, that's the file. That's not coming in. From the things that we think that we have that are precious, the most I like, these things are defiled. They're not coming in. Beggar stuff, man. It's all poor. The little bedroom set that you praise, the TVs you was praising. You know what I'm saying? The little couch set that groove spot that you like the most. Well, something that ain't coming in. I'm bringing something that the world is going to see. The world's going to bring the best of what they have to this kingdom. But we had to look at what the Father's trying to show us, that we need to make sure that we're right so that we're not trying to come in with something that's defiled. Because we're not going to be in the condition that we're in and make it into this kingdom. That ain't going to work. You ain't coming through them gates. Not unless you focus on cleaning yourself up and getting yourself right and prepared for what was promised to us. Now I want you to read something real quick, right? Jump up. I want you to jump up to verse 5. Revelation chapter 21. I want you to read verse 5.
Revelation 21, 5. And he that sat upon the throne said.
Hold on, let me put a speaker again. Read that.
Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new.
I do what?
I make all things new.
I do what?
I make all things new.
This is Christ speaking. This is Christ the word. Be like, everything that's going to be made, I'm going to make all things new. So the things you try to walk into and bring, you're not bringing them old in here. You're not bringing your past. You're not bringing no keepsakes, things that have sentimental value. You ain't bringing your bank account money with you. It ain't coming. He said, I make all things new. Go ahead.
And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
Go ahead.
And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Read on.
But the fearful and unbelieving.
But the what?
But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall all have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Which is the second death. You know, we dead now, but you can die and suffer. That means you look at the Most High trying to show us that old man ain't going to make it. If I'm still out here trying to do the things I'm doing in the world, I just don't believe, or if I ain't changing the negative that's in me, because everybody got a different negative demon and battle that we all battle. They said then, but if I don't get rid of that, the only thing going to be there for me is them nukes. I'm going to die with the rest of them here. And then we'll start over as that person as a child, getting them prepared for the kingdom, bringing them in and raising them up the right way. Because this is going to be in the kingdom. Either you can go in because you work to clean yourself up, or you can come in as somebody's kid. But this is the kingdom that's still promised to us, right?
Verse 9.
Hold on, let me see something else. There's a part I want to read. Oh, yeah. Jump down to verse, is it 9 through 14? Yeah, we read 11 again. So go back to verse, no, read verse, yeah, verse 12. Read 12. And then we're going to move on from this. Read verse 12.
Revelation 21 and 12. And had a wall great and high.
He said it was going to be a wall that was great and high. Go ahead.
And had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels.
He said, and left. So listen, you think about it. This kingdom is about to have 12, not one pearly gate, but it's got 12 gates. And it's got 12 angels. It's got a guard at every gate. Go ahead.
And the name is written thereon.
And there will be names that are written thereon. Either on the gate where this angel is guarding, is going to be a name of the people that can enter through that gate. Go ahead.
Which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
So, keep reading.
Verse 13, on the east three gates, on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates.
So, on the east, there was going to be three gates. On the north, there was going to be three gates. On the south, three gates. On the west, three gates. Go ahead.
And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
So I like when you look at it. You'll be on the north side of the kingdom. There will be three gates on the north side. Three tribes. I like that. Every three gates in the building. That side of the city, those three gates, these are the tribes that can now go through those gates. So you know, I'm looking at one thing. It's like Brother Tim about Amanda. It's like talking about the 12 tribe side. But you know what? Without that, we wouldn't have been able to know. We may not correctly know what tribe we are. I get that. 100%, man, I don't think every Israelite can say what his true tribe is. You think he, Naphtali, he may be Judah. You know what I'm saying? You think he, Benjamin, he may be Simeon. He don't know. We don't know. We know that we Israelites, we know that we make our focus on living right, cleaning ourselves up so that we cannot enter into this kingdom. You know what I'm saying? We focus on from using wisdom and knowledge to last, till Christ come back. Doing the things that keep me right to last, but never losing focus of what's important. I'm always cleaning myself up so that I'm prepared for that kingdom. I'm helping the ones around me continue to clean themselves up so they're ready for the kingdom that is promised to them, because this is our legacy. We can't change it. If this is who we are, if we're the lost tribes of Israel, then this is the kingdom that was prepared for you. You ain't got no choice but to enter in because this was given to us. I want you to read 1 Kings real quick, right? There's a couple of them. 2 Chronicles first, right? 2 Chronicles 13 and 10. And then 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 5. I'll read 1 Kings, all right?
Okay, I got 2 Chronicles 13.
Okay, read that.
2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 10. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening, burn sacrifices and sweet incense.
What verse is that?
Verse 11.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 2 Chronicles 13 and 5. I'm sorry. Read that.
2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever?
He said, I gave this kingdom, but I love the point of reading that. Because don't you know, ain't you supposed to know that the kingdom, that the Most High gave this kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, over to David forever? That kingdom is a part of our legacy. David is going to be the prince. Christ is the king. But this is the kingdom that is going to be promised to us. We get one more. What did I say? First Kings. Man, what did we find? There you go. First Kings chapter 9. Oh, you got it with me, man. We're going to First Kings chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 5, okay? 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 5. Go ahead.
1 Kings 9 and 5. Then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. You You mean 9 and 10?
It's 1 Kings chapter 9.
Verse 1.
First
Kings chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him in Gideon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house, which thou hast built.
I bless the house that you built. Go ahead.
To put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually.
Read on.
And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of the kingdom upon Israel forever.
He said, then I'm going to establish the throne of the kingdom unto Israel for what?
Forever.
Go ahead.
As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel.
Read on.
But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people.
And we're there. We understand that we didn't keep the commandments of the Most High. And we're here. And the kingdom of the Father, or the house that Solomon built, the tabernacle that the Most High said that he hollered, the Most High said, I cast that out of my sight. So we understand that as long as we keep living in the condition that we live in, right? As long as we keep living a life where we're not keeping the commandments of the Father, we're not focused on patterning our lives more and more after the people of the Bible, after the commandments of the Father, following the high holy days and everything else. The Father's like, the more you keep not doing that, no problem. I'm going to leave y'all in that condition. I already put you there in that condition because you didn't keep the commandments. But as more and more of our people are waking up, and the more and more our people are trying to turn back to the commandments of the Father, the more I like, okay, my eyes are opening back up on now. I'm getting the kingdom prepared for y'all to be in. I'm getting y'all's legacy prepared so that I can give it to you. But like Christ told the apostles, we don't, none of us know. Go do your job. You ain't going to be able to figure out when it's going to come. Go do your job. And even if you don't believe, what good is that? It ain't like it's going to change what's going to happen. A lot of people didn't believe in the eclipse. It still happened. A lot of people don't believe in earthquakes, but they still happen. So a lot of people go and stop, and because you didn't believe in something, didn't mean that this earth, this kingdom ain't going to fall, and the Most High going to establish his kingdom. You cannot believe and waste time. That's your choice. That's all your choice. But it don't mean that it's not going to happen. Let me go here real quick, scripture in Romans. It says, well, what if some didn't believe? Let me find that real quick. Real fast, man. In my last 10 minutes. Let me find that real quick. It's going to say, let the Most High be true. Let me go right to it. I'm about to do it. 1 second, you guys. Hold on. Bear with me. Go to my concordance real fast.
Romans
3:4. There's my love. That's it. Let me go back.
God forbid ye, let God be true.
Yep, that's it. Read that.
Romans 3:4.
Uh-huh.
God forbid. Ye, let God be true.
Read up. Read up.
Romans 3 and 3. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid.
He said, brother, you cannot believe, and it's still not going to change. What's going to happen? We cannot believe. We're going to close our door and say, man, I don't believe. I don't believe y'all. I don't believe what I'm not believe. That's just y'all's opinion. Y'all just talking. You don't have to believe, but it's not going to change the effect. Like I said, people didn't believe in the eclipses that happened. People didn't believe in, like I said, earthquakes and everything else going on. They still happen. Tornadoes. You only believe it because you see it. The first rain that destroyed the earth, people didn't believe. It still happened. But you got people that say, you know what? There's no scientific proof that that happened. You don't have to believe. I'm not here to convince you. But but what we read about is still going to happen. Read on.
God forbid. This is verse 4. God forbid ye, let God be true, let every man a liar.
Read.
As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and the mightiest overcome when thou art judged.
So the Most High showing, he said, let the Most High be true, let every man be a liar. He said, but you don't got to believe, but you don't got to believe me. You don't got to take my word for it, man. I ain't nobody. I ain't trying to be anybody. Because I'm fighting and striving every day for the same thing, to get myself ready for the kingdom that was promised to me, to my nation. The legacy that was promised to us, that's what I'm getting ready for. The inheritance that was promised to us, that's the thing I'm focused on getting ready for. Now, let me get this real quick. It's a, I was doing that, right?
Sure.
We're going to go here. We're going to go to is it Revelations? Let me see. That's First John. Hold on, you guys, real quick. Bear with me. We're going to do First John. We're going to do First John chapter 1. Let me go start at verse 1. Read that about you real quick. It's First John chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 1.
First John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning.
Want to read it again?
First John chapter 1 and 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life.
Uh-huh.
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life.
Right. So we look at watch the Bible. The Bible is the word of life. See, the things that have been taught is that for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and showed unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. Go ahead.
And was manifested unto us, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
So everything we're reading and showing is set up and all designed to we getting it from the Father, we getting it from the Scriptures, and we're only sharing from the Scriptures. We're looking at the events and things going on, and we're reading the same thing we're seeing, watching it manifest, bearing witness to. We're reading it in the Bible, and we're sharing it with you. Go ahead.
And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Go ahead.
This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Read.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Go ahead.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Go ahead.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Go ahead.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
So we look at what was the Most High is about being transparent. The Most High is about us looking at the things in us and working on cleansing it and getting ready. But this is what we're supposed to be working on doing, man. It ain't about I'm out here living my life and I'm out here doing a lot of things in the darkness. I'm doing a lot of things that I don't think nobody's seeing. The Most High, like, man, you're with the truth. You're not about the truth, and you're not trying to fellowship with Christ, with Yahushua. You're not doing that. You're not trying to make it to the kingdom. The people that are truly trying to make it to the kingdom are the ones that are out here really trying to clean themselves up. They realize, man, I have a lot of things in me that I have to work and clean up. But the fact that these things have to be cleaned up, I know that I've been off. I got to do this, and I got to work to be right with the Father. So this is what we're supposed to be putting our focus on, because we understand what we are working for. We are trying to inherit. We're trying to get ourselves into the kingdom that was called for. So with that, I'm going to thank everybody for joining. I'm thankful for Bajan coming out, man, and get down with me, man. And it was a pleasure, you know what I'm saying, to get in here, man, and open this book up and start doing the things that get us prepared for the kingdom that's to come to us, man, because at the end of the day, that's all that's important. That's all that's important, is us making it to the kingdom. Understanding that you have flaws, got a lot of work to work on, but it's about us making it to our kingdom that's promised to us. So with that, I'm going to say shalom.
Get that off yet.